On the show now, a guy who has some crazy Ouija board stories. He owns a Ouija board museum.
Oh.
John Kozik. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Good, thank you.
I think.
Salem Witchboard Museum. Are you married?
Hello. Yes.
John?
Yes, I'm here. The background noise, the background music is creepy.
Okay.
A little loud.
I just turned it off. How's that?
There you go.
That's going great. Yes, yeah, right. Perfect.
Are you married?
No. I have a partner of over 10 years, though.
Okay, gotcha.
Cool.
I was just wondering, because, you know, it's one of those things that if a Ouija board scares you, you're probably not going to marry a Ouija board museum owner.
There's over 600 of them in the house as well, so the museum is a small part of the overall collection.
Have you ever had
quite a bit here?
Have you ever had a problem with them?
I have not at all. I've seen plenty of people have problems with them, but I'm not one of them.
So you know how to do it. You're a professional.
Well, I'm a professional around them for sure. You know, I love the boards and I love the history behind them, and so I don't really show them any fear or anything like that, other than just love.
Have you used them to conjure up or communicate with the other side?
I have not, no.
Yeah.
My grandmother, whose board I inherited, she had a very strong connection to the board. She flew on the thing, would use it really fast. And unfortunately, the board doesn't work the same way for me like it did for her.
You mean she was able to spell things out quickly? She didn't fly in it like it was a broom.
Yeah, I was picturing her like Aladdin flying around or something.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
No, she was just extremely fast. The planchette flew, you know, moved very fast over the letters and numbers, and she would yell them out quicker than people could write down what she was saying.
Bingo, yeah.
That's wild.
You know, it's cool. They should make a Twister version.
Be interesting.
Lightfoot, yes. Listen.
Do you have, so the boards that you collect, is there a reason why you would collect them? Do they have a bad story behind them, or you collect them because they're, you know, antiques?
I collect because of the history behind them predominantly, but over the years, people have actually reached out with boards that they had problems with, and they would donate those.
And so you would take those?
Yeah, I would. I wouldn't actively go reach out for any of those kind of boards. But when people reach out to me with a story and they want to donate them, then I'm happy to take those.
What are some of the stories behind some of the boards you've collected?
There are some in the museum that were sent with caution tape on them.
Oh, boy.
The previous owners had found them in their house. They had no idea how the boards even got in their house. When they found them, the husband lost his job. The kids started suffering from nightmares. And so the wife, she's the one that put caution tape across them to make sure that no one else used them. Those are there. I have.
And they didn't even use them. They didn't even touch. They just found it. And then all these bad things happened.
Yeah. And believe me, if I had a dime for every time someone told me they found a Ouija board in the house and they don't know how I got there, I'd be pretty rich right now. I hear that story. A lot of stories start that way. And people come to the museum, they really want to come and tell me their experience, tell me a story that, you know, people didn't believe them or they laughed at them. They want validation. And a lot of stories start that way. I found a Ouija board in the house. I don't know how it got here.
It's interesting that you take them, though, because, like, the number one rule is not to destroy the boards. So, like, if people have something that scares them, it's like their instinct is to try to throw it away or burn it. And it's like, never, ever, ever, ever do that. So what do you do?
And what are you going to do with all these boards?
Well, I mean, I
tag sale.
They go on to, if they're a good story, I like to put them on display and tell their story.
All right, let's hear some of these good stories then. Like, give us one that would, like, scare us.
There was one board that was, when I picked it up at the post office, the clerk had written across the box, "Careful, salt is leaking." And I opened it. It was a Ouija board wrapped in a black shroud. A little copy of a mini Bible, the New Testament, was included. And the box was filled right to the top with salt, probably about 5 pounds of salt. And that person had bought they bought it at the estate of an old dead woman. They found it in the back of her closet. They brought the board home. They locked it in their shed. Their son broke into the shed and started using the Ouija board. And her and I, every day we talked for about 3 months, and things escalated very quickly. Every day was kind of crazier than the day before. The son was clawing and eating the furniture, speaking in tongue.
Hold it, wait, hold it.
Where'd the couch go?
You've heard these stories too many times when you're going like, yeah, he was clawing and like.
Yeah, it's like talking to a funeral director. There's just, they're not excited about it anymore.
Yeah. All right, so he's playing with the board out in the shed, and then the next thing you know,
he's clawing and eating the furniture.
Okay. Eating the furniture.
Like a feral cat.
Yep, exactly.
Wow.
Huh. Somebody want to feed the
then baby. You said speaking in tongues.
Speaking in tongues, saying, you know, she couldn't understand anything that he was saying.
Basically, well, the exorcist unfolded in her house.
Or toxic chemicals on the couch.
Oh, well, it keeps going from there. He was speaking to something in the room that she couldn't see. The mother couldn't see, but he was talking to someone there.
Oh, man, I'm freaked out.
This happened for a month? They didn't stop it after like 2 days?
The kid was tripping.
No, so it just kept, it escalated over 3 months, actually.
Oh,
you know?
My God.
Yeah, it kept going back and forth, kept getting more and more intense. And the final thing was that the son, tried to kill one of the other siblings.
Oh, see, now we got a problem.
Do you know how he tried to do it?
Well, hold it. Clawing at the furniture and eating the couch.
Right.
All right, whatever.
right.
Speaking
gotta
in
start
time,
somewhere, you know?
You know, I'm busy. I got that thing I got to do.
Yeah, but you dumped the car. Now Dad's pissed.
Wow.
So those are some of the types of boards I have there with that. And then
hold it.
Oh, so right there.
All of what you do is your stories here, because the boards, I don't want to go near them.
Nope.
Yeah, I'm good. I suck at Parcheesi.
We have John Kozik on. He's owner of the Salem Witchboard Museum. We're linked up on the radio station website. So, starts clawing at the furniture, eating the furniture, speaking in tongues, speaking to something that's not there, then tries to murder one of his siblings.
Yep, that's it.
Okay, this is all over a 3 month period, gradually escalate. This is it's The Exorcist.
Yep.
It's the movie The Exorcist
minus the crab walk down the stairs. Yeah,
exactly.
Well,
crabs.
Did he crab walk?
I didn't hear that part of it. No.
Okay.
Of course, he moonwalked.
So, how did he try to kill a sibling?
I don't recall off the top of my head. This is going. The story goes back 10 years.
John, these are your stories, man. You got to.
I know. I just remember that was what she wrote. You got to understand, I lived it for 3 months where this person wrote to me, and it was intense. There was a lot of stuff going on. Wow. I'm probably leaving out a bazillion other stories from this.
But
paraphrasing.
I have to go back to it.
Each one of these boards is a potential movie.
Seriously?
A series of movies. It's the Ouija board movies.
Bring back
this
one.
This is movie one.
At the museum, there's a whole wall of movies that have Ouija boards in them. There's over 500. And when people come
in... you own the stories to these.
I know. I'm like, I will tell stories better than any movie with a Ouija board.
Love you.
Yeah, you just need to remember some key parts.
Yeah.
How did he try to kill a sibling?
Yeah, the murder weapon is always a good start.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was it, in the middle of the night? Did he drag the kid out in front of a car?
She sitting on the chair? He was eating it? What happened?
Right. The lazy boy.
Right.
He vomited up.
I'll go back to the 50 pages of printouts that I have of the emails from them, and
I'm telling you, you're sitting on a movie. And guess what? We just had a movie company owner. Horror movie. Makes Christmas movies now, but it could be...
Yeah.
The Ouija board Christmas.
Kick a Ouija board for Christmas.
That's it. That was what we were talking about, the Christmas movie with a weird gift.
Yeah.
You get a Ouija board for Christmas.
I got a Ouija board.
Right.
You go wrong.
Right. And then all hell breaks loose.
That's the best Yankee Swap gift there is.
Yeah. Nice.
It's really Satan Claus.
No, it's one of those Advent calendars of terror. Each day you open it up and there's something horrible happening.
Phil, you just came up with a new movie.
Yeah, John, I think you got to write some of this stuff down, man.
I definitely have it all. I keep everything. That one, that particular story is a little binder. It's roughly about 50 pages of all these correspondence going back and forth with the person.
Yeah, this one sounds nutty.
Yeah.
This is the exercise. How did it end?
The son was eventually committed to a mental institution, and that's when it officially ended.
Oh, my God.
And they went to IKEA.
Part two, Jason Escapes. What was the kid's name? Do you remember?
Michael Myers.
I don't remember his name, but I remember the woman was Cindy with a C, and C-I-N-D-E-E.
That's a weird Cindy.
Yep. Exactly. So it's always stuck in my head.
Yep.
Cindy.
Cindy with an I. She only had one eye.
Isn't this wild? John, listen, I don't want to tell you what to do, but these boards are one thing. The stories behind the boards, that's what people want.
The liner notes.
Oh, I agree. I agree 100%. But you got to remember, also, there's 30-plus boards that have been donated. There's, the amount of time and conversations you have with all about them, all of them. So there's a lot of stuff for me to remember here.
Yeah, yeah. Man. All right, and people pay to go see the boards?
They do, and really, I think a big part of the museum draw is that I'm there, and I can tell stories about a lot of the boards. The history, of course, and where they come about, how there's no inventor, how a woman is responsible for naming it, and how that story was discovered only recently, 10 years ago. And so then get into, of course, murders, suicides, haunted stuff, paranormal stuff. So the museum has quite a bit of stuff, a lot of history, and when I'm there, I tell a lot of different stories. Some people are really drawn just to the beginning and the spiritualist movement in America, and then other people want to get right to the paranormal stuff.
You know,
so I like to have
Ouija,
a mix of everything.
Thing about Ouija is the word itself does not look like you pronounce it that way.
No.
You know, it's like a Ouija, you know?
Why is it like that, John?
Yeah.
So a woman named Helen Peters in 1890, she asked the unnamed board, it was just called a witch board, kind of a generic name for it. She asked it what it wanted to be called, and the board spelled back Ouija. Okay. And then she asked, what does it mean? And the board spelled back good luck.
See, I spell it wedgie. Totally different. In both opinions. Wow.
So the word was made up by someone who was just moving the thing across the board.
No one questioned it.
Exactly. No
question. You get a couple vowels, you're good. Yeah.
No follow-up questions. Thank you.
It is. But it'd be impossible, but okay, we're good.
Well, John, thank you, man. Thanks for coming on. I will never go to your museum. But
okay.
I know people want to go, and that's why we wanted to have you on.
Yeah, big time.
I appreciate having me on. Before I go, let me tell you a quick story about Bridgeport, Connecticut, and the first suicide associated with the Ouija board.
Oh,
really?
That's from the year 1900, and a woman in Bridgeport, Connecticut, she was so consumed with the messages that she was getting from the board, she wanted to find out for herself where these messages were coming from. So she took strychnine, she poisoned herself to get to the other side of the board.
Wow.
On her deathbed, she told her husband, God commanded me to die.
Was it the board or was it mental illness?
Well, any of the stories I tell you, I think you might be able to debate either way.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Right.
That's, wow. That's a real infatuation with a game. That's a commitment to a Ouija board.
Seriously, worst in the gamer ever.
Yeah. You think Monopoly's bad. Wait until you lose Ouija board. Yeah.
This had to begin the whole thing where these Ouija boards can open up bad doors.
Oh, yeah. I mean, from there, you know, you have murders that are associated with the Ouija board. And then, of course, you know, the 500-plus horror movies as well. So these things definitely influence people, for sure. I still think that in general, the board was still looked at as a good thing up until the early 70s. You know, most people were using them because, you know, they brought them comfort and closure during a time of uncertainty like the Great Depression or during the wars when they were trying to reach out to a deceased loved one.
Right. What happened in the 70s?
Things just started to change the way people use the board. The intent changed, I think, with a lot of people. Now using it as like a dare game, a sleepover party game. And that part of that is the movie The Exorcist, is that, you know, they explain how Reagan became possessed, which she used the board alone. And even though it's like this little tiny scene that most people don't even remember, over time, people then say that. They believe it. And so that becomes like a dare game after there. And so after that movie. So I think that's part of why we start to see it viewed the way we do today.
Wow. Thank the devil. Well, thank you for coming on. And we're linked up to your Salem Witchboard Museum on the radio station website.
Perfect. Thank you both for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you, John. Great guest. Thank you.
Happy Halloween. Take
care. You too. Emily in Norwalk.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You got to be like when we were at Camp Washington and, I don't know, put some weird music on or somebody sing weird music.
How about this? I'll do the show and you make the phone call.
No, I can make my own show. All right, listen, though, I'll tell you. I was like 24, and I was recently divorced, and I was with my friend.
You're 24 and divorced, but how old were you when you got married?
Too dominant?
23.
Oh, okay.
True.
So it happens?
I was like, bye-bye.
All right.
Bye-bye. You threw a chair. Bye-bye. We're getting a settlement agreement.
Bye-bye.
Yes.
So I'm living with my new boyfriend at 24.
Man.
And
you don't mess around.
You know, the relationship only lasts a month. So, and I love him. Hi, Mark Wiest, if you're hearing on the air. Anyway, I was asleep, and so was my boyfriend. And I was thinking about, like, the fact that my stepdad had hurt his back, and I didn't get along with him. And I was aware that the room got cold. And I have this.
I'm going to put you on hold here for a second. Hold on, Emily. We're going to come right back. All right, let's go around the room. Do we want to hear the rest of this? AJ?
I don't know. No.
Phil?
Kinda, yeah. I want to hear where it ends.
Vince?
I want to hear where it ends, but we're not getting this. Like, if she can get
I'll
there in the next 10
seconds.
End.
Okay.
You know?
Ruth?
Yeah, let's start at the end.
Okay. Emily, right. Let's go to the end of the story.
All right, the end is that the ghost came through the wall and the cat's hair stood up on end, and I got so freaked out, I went to an Episcopal priest and I asked her about it. And she said, I think you're one of those people because I'm so close to people who have died. And I said, it was really scary. And she said, I think you did see the ghost of your step uncle.
Oh.
And his name was Russell Henry, and he died in the 70s, and it really happened. And people who don't want to believe, you don't have to.
Well, I believe you.
Those, but it's real.
You're one of those people.
Thank you. Thank you for affirming, because I believe in, like, my grandmother died in Halloween, and I love her so much. And a Mexican lady said, that's the day you go straight to heaven.
Oh, look at
this. Bye.
Yeah. Bye.
Yeah. Love you guys.
Are you really leaving?
What? Oh, I might. No, I don't know. If you want to hang up.
What happened to your grandmother?
She had a circulatory illness after being an actress. She really didn't work as much. And
I just thought it might have been something sudden on Halloween.
It's ghoulish. No, if you look in Variety magazine, if you look her up in Variety, she had no survivors. But I'm Emily Matthews Hess Banks now, and I am her youngest granddaughter.
What was she in that we would recognize?
Yeah, what was her name?
The Waltons. The Waltons.
The Waltons. She's
the
in the Waltons.
Trap.
Wow.
Yes, she was I'm sorry, TL. She was in the episode called Journey, and I donated it in Hamden. You can see it here. You can go to Best, whatever it's called. There's a
Best Video.
Coffee video shop. Yes, yeah. I donated her. I donated three
donated
of her pieces.
Her?
Donated her ashes?
Wait.
She fell down.
I donated her here, grandmother. No, she's buried in Weathersfield.
Okay.
She's buried in Weathersfield.
What,
but
what
listen.
Was her name?
Parent Linda Watkins Hess, but her stage name was
I'm
Linda Watkins.
Everyone's slider down.
Thank you.
Thank you, Emily. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Emily.
Kellyanne in Woodbury.
Hi. Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
You too.
My mother died when I was 23, so like 21 years ago.
Sorry.
And,
to hear that,
yeah, sorry.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it was cancer. She went really quickly. But anyway, after that, I got married. I had children. And one of my children, when we moved into our new house in the town that I grew up in, Woodbury, told me, she said, I talked to Grandma last night. She was probably about six. And I said, what do you mean you talked to Grandma? Your grandma lives in Phoenix. That's my husband's mom. And she goes, no, your mom. She looks like you. And I'm like, okay, that's true. You've seen pictures of her. And I said, what was she wearing when you talked to her? And she goes, green dress. And I said, well, what kind of dress? Because I all of a sudden the hairs on my neck stood up. I'm like, what kind of dress? And she goes, well, I don't know. There's a shirt under it. And darned if when my mom passed away, we didn't know what to put her in because she'd lost so much weight. She had a jumper-type dress where you have a little T-shirt underneath it. And she was buried in that sage green dress. So I said to her, I said, you know what? I think I have a picture of Grandma in something like that. And I unboxed, she had never seen these pictures, some old pictures of my family, and I showed her a picture of my mom on a cruise with my dad, and she goes, that's Grandma, that's what she was wearing. Whoa. And it was the actual outfit that my mom was buried in. Whoa. So I totally believe that she can communicate with us when she wants to. Sometimes, as weird as it sounds, I'll be driving in a car thinking about something that's concerning me. And our favorite song when I was like five was Karma Chameleon. When it came on, we'd put the music up loud. And
my hair,
that
my
song, I kid you not, will pop on the radio or in the store. And it's really weird. So there's some kind of electricity out there that connects us, I think.
Well, that's at least wild. Not you want to hurt me.
Haunted by Boy Georgia.
Yeah. Dun, dun, all right, I got to go. I got to go play a song here.
Okay. No problem.
All right.
Bye now.
Radio.
Thank you, Kellyanne. This is a fun song to have remind you of your mother.
Yeah.
This is a fun song. What's that, AJ?
Get out of the car, start dancing.
That's a haunting, though, right there.
That's a haunting.
2 a.m.
in the morning. No! Yeah!
Right, if it keeps repeating over and over.
Yep.
Wow, that's wild.
No such thing as a short ghost story, though.
No.
No, if you tell it well. See, Emily had a long story, but it was fragmented. And Kelly had a great story.
In order, yeah.
In order.
With music, yeah.
And there's no bad stories here, by the way. You call in. We're not going to judge your story.
No.
I might, but, you know.
Not the story. Maybe the storytelling ability.
Right, right. Yeah.
Yes, yes. Tell it well.
Olaf, on the road.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Olaf.
I'll keep it kind of short and sweet. I'm one of those people who also can pick up on ghosts, and sometimes I don't even have to be there. It just, you know, get the feeling when just listening, and I bet you guys are spooked solid. You guys just had that ghost of conversations past call in, Emily. Terrifying, ghoulish, the endless haunts of the relationships and her grandmother's acting career. I was scared stiff.
Wow, you're being roasted by Olaf. Nice.
I couldn't believe how far back in the past, and we could have stayed there. That was the terrifying part. You guys keep ghost busting. I love it.
Thanks, man.
Thank you. I had to pull over.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.